Chevron, Shell, and the true cost of oil. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With my weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The economy is a shambles, unemployment soaring, the auto industry is collapsing. But profits are higher than ever at oil companies Chevron and Shell. Yet across the globe, from the Ecuadorian jungle to the Niger Delta in Nigeria, to the courtrooms and streets of New York and San Ramon, California, people are fighting back against the world's oil giants. Shell and Chevron are in the spotlight this week with shareholder meetings and a historic trial being held. On May 13th, the Nigerian military launched an assault on villages in that nation's oil-rich Niger Delta. Hundreds of civilians are feared killed in the attack. According to Amnesty International, a celebration in the Delta village of Aparatsa was attacked. An eyewitness told the organization, "I heard the sound of aircraft. I saw two military helicopters shooting at the houses, at the palace, shooting at us. We had to run for safety into the forest, in the bush. I heard adults crying. So many mothers could not find their children. Everybody ran for their life." Shell's facing a lawsuit in U.S. federal court, WIWA v. Shell, based on Shell's alleged collaboration with the Nigerian dictatorship in the 1990s and the violent suppression of the grassroots movement of the Ogoni people of the Niger Delta. Shell exploits the oil riches there, causing displacement, pollution, and deforestation. The suit also alleges Shell helped suppress the movement for the survival of the Ogoni people, known as MOSAP, and its charismatic leader, Ken Sarawiwa. Sarawiwa had been the writer of the most popular soap opera in Nigeria, but decided to throw his lot in with the Ogoni, whose land near the Niger Delta was crisscrossed with pipelines. The children of Ogoni land did not know a dark night living beneath the flame, apartment building-sized gas flares that burn day and night and are illegal in the United States. I interviewed Ken Sarawiwa in 1994. This is some of what he told me.
The oil companies like military dictatorships because basically they can cheat with these dictatorships. The dictatorships are brutal to people, and they can deny the rights of human rights of individuals and of communities quite easily without compunction.
Ken Sarawiwa, how does the oil companies, how do Shell and Chevron deal with you as the president of the Movement for the Survival of the Ogoni People?
Well, recently, when the protest started, the Shell, they had a meeting, operatives of Shell in Nigeria and of those at The Hague in the Netherlands and in London held a meeting. And they decided that they would have to keep an eye on me, watch wherever I go to, follow me constantly to ensure that I do not embarrass Shell. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm a marked man.
Sarawiwa returned to Nigeria and was arrested by the military junta. On November 10, 1995, after a kangaroo show trial, Sarawiwa was hanged with eight other Ogoni activists. In 1998, I traveled to the Niger Delta with journalist Jeremy Scahill. A Chevron executive there told us that Chevron flew troops from Nigeria's notorious mobile police, known as the Kill and Go, that's the Kill and Go, in a Chevron company helicopter to an oil barge that had been occupied by nonviolent protesters. Two protesters were killed. Many more were arrested and tortured. Oronto Douglas, one of Ken Sarawiwa's attorneys, told us,
"It is very clear that Chevron, just like Shell, uses the military to protect its oil activities. They drill and they kill."
Chevron is the second largest stakeholder, after French oil company Total, of the Adana natural gas field and pipeline project based in Burma, which the military junta renamed Myanmar. The pipeline provides the single largest source of income to the military junta, amounting to close to $1 billion in 2007. Nobel Peace Prize laureate Aung San Suu Kyi, popularly elected the leader of Burma in 1990, has been under house arrest for 14 of the last 20 years. She's standing trial again this week. On Tuesday, the government said it had ended the house arrest of Suu Kyi, but she remains in detention pending the outcome of the trial. The U.S. government has barred U.S. companies from investing in Burma since 1997, but Chevron has a waiver inherited when it acquired the oil company Unocal. Chevron's litany of similar abuses, from the Philippines to Kazakhstan, Chad, Cameroon, Iraq, Ecuador, and Angola, and across the U.S. and Canada, is detailed in an alternative annual report prepared by a consortium of non-governmental organizations. It's being distributed to Chevron shareholders at this week's annual meeting and to the public at truecostofchevron.com. Chevron is being investigated by New York State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo about whether the company was accurate and complete in describing potential legal liabilities. It enjoys, though, a long tradition of hiring politically powerful people. Condoleezza Rice was a longtime director of the company. There was even a supertanker named after her. And the recently hired general counsel is none other than disgraced Pentagon lawyer William J. Haynes, who advocated for harsh interrogation techniques, including waterboarding. General James L. Jones, President Barack Obama's national security advisor, sat on the Chevron board of directors for most of 2008 until he received the high-level White House appointment. Ken Saro-Wiwa said this before he died.
We are going to demand our rights peacefully, nonviolently, and we shall win.
A global grassroots movement is growing to do just that. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.